praise God? God is a good God. Amen? Amen. Hope everyone's doing wonderful. I mean, this morning's actually pretty nice, but it's been feeling like summertime again the last few days. You know, of course, we only have two seasons here in Oklahoma. That's summer and winter. We also have fake fall and fake autumn. I mean, fake autumn and fake spring, but it's, you know, usually it's either hot or cold for whatever reason here in Oklahoma. Once again, I haven't said it in a couple of weeks or whatever. Everyone needs to always take a service selfie and let everybody know that you're enjoying your time at Rhema Bible Church, whether you're here, whether you're watching online. And we do want to welcome all of you that are watching online. A lot of folks don't realize that we have as many people watching online through our various sources as we do in this room. In fact, a number of folks stay up. It might be 2 a.m. somewhere in Europe or something like that. But amen. Well, this morning, we're going to be talking about joy. Not just any joy, but the joy of the Lord. I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And actually, when we were talking about love, when I was doing the love series, I read these verses and it really got me thinking. But John 15:11 says this, Jesus speaking, it's red letters. It says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." So Jesus told us we should be full of it. What should we be full of? We should be full of his joy, all right? Not full of other stuff, but full of his joy. But what are the things that Jesus spoke to us? Well, Jesus spoke many things, but let's go back to verse number 7. It says this, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you." So it says if we abide in Jesus and his words abide in us, then we can ask for whatever we want. And you know, it says, well, actually it doesn't say want, it says desire. I like the word desire more than the word want. Because I believe the word desire is a stronger word. You know, wanting something's one thing, but people that desire something, they're going to do whatever it takes. Now, I did youth ministry for a long time. And I don't know, some of you may or may not know, especially some of you younger generations, that they're all the time coming up with new sneakers and, you know, Nike has stuff, Adidas has stuff. And, you know, and these kids and young adults and even some older adults, you know, they're like, man, I have to have the latest, you know, Nikes or the latest this or the latest that or whatever. And, you know, we have a generation of youth that sometimes are fairly lazy. But I tell you what, man, there was a pair of Nikes that came out that one of these kids wanted. I saw that kid. He went around his whole neighborhood knocking on doors asking, "Can I mow your lawn? Can I pick weeds? Can I do this? Can I do that?" You know, he was trying to find any way possible for him to make money because he desired that pair of sneakers. So much so, he did something, got himself in trouble. Happened to be summertime. We do youth camp. Sometimes, well, we try to ask if people will donate for youth camp and actually, you know, donate money for kids who can't go to camp. And so here's the thing. His mom gave him cash to go to camp. But instead of using the cash to go to camp, he went and signed up to get a scholarship because he desired tennis shoes more, you know. So he actually, we called his mom, said, you know, we want your kid to go to youth camp, you know, whatever. So, you know, we have money for you. Don't worry about it. And she's like, "Do what? I can't remember his name, I said, Johnny Money like 2 weeks ago to go to youth camp." Well, he signed up 2 weeks ago or whatever. So Johnny got in trouble. What he got? I think he got to keep his shoes though. So, you know, what are you going to do? Take them back? I guess you could sell them on eBay. But you know what? I've seen people, when they desire something, man, that's more than one. But it says that if my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Well, I tell you what, if you're going to get whatever you desire, how can you not be joyful? The problem is, and see, we, you know, the words abide in us, but sometimes we forget about them because we're so busy looking at the things of the world and seeing all these things coming against us that we forget, hey, you know what? The greater one's on the inside of us. And so it says that you know, it says once again, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, one thing, you know, in order for his words to abide in us, we have to be able to read the word. What does the word say? That was the one thing my grandfather always asked me. You know, anytime you ask him a spiritual question, his answer would be, what does the word say? Because see, he would never answer things that the word didn't say. It was always about what the word says. And you know, because those words have to abide in us. We have to know the word. You know, I'm glad that I can quote the word. I know the word. Every situation that I ever will, you know, come against in my life, I have scripture for, and I can quote the word. It goes on to say, by this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, we pointed that out the other day, is that, you know, Jesus is saying that, you know, we got to keep his commandments. Well, one the biggest commandment is to love each other. You're not going to be joyful and happy if you don't love people. Now, it doesn't say that people have to love you. It says you should love everybody else. You know, whether they love you or not doesn't really matter. You know, you just have to have love for each other. Now, here's the thing. You know, I know that there's the big Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, but if you love people, you're not going to kill them, all right? You're not going to lie to them. You're not going to steal their stuff. You're going to keep every one of those commandments if you love people. So love is the most important commandment. Those are the two commandments that Jesus gave us, was to love God and to love people. And, you know, that's what we have to do. But Jesus said this, that our joy might be full. And so I started thinking about, Jesus didn't say we should have a little bit of joy. Because I think that a lot of us have a little bit of joy. And a lot of times, the little bit of joy that we have only really comes out right here in the running space. And we always go this way, for whatever reason. I don't know. Got to be going this way. If you go that way, you're going against the crowd. And we've all been there. All right, and it's funny because, you know, the Bible says that the joy might be full, but it seems the only time, a lot of times, some of these people are joyful is when they're right here in church. And it's easy to stir up, you know, it's easy to stir that up here in church, especially if someone starts to, no, 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 you know. You know. I mean, you know, then everybody just starts running just because they hear the dun 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 dun. I mean, you know, it's, I mean, that's just like, okay, that's my cue. Now, some people run, you know, when some people run when the preacher's preaching, that's good too. But you know what? We're supposed to be full of joy all the time. It's not supposed to be spotty joy. Jesus didn't say, I came that you might have joy sometimes, you know, but there's going to be times it's going to be bad and all these kind of things. Now, I want you to understand is that Jesus was speaking these things to his disciples because he knew he was going to endure the cross and he knew they were going to be persecuted. He knew it was going to be a bad time, but he came to bring him hope. And I'm here to bring you hope because Jesus Christ is always with you and he wants his joy to always be with you as well. And you have the capacity to have joy. Now, here's the thing. Every one of you who have an automobile have an indicator on your thing about your gas tank, right? I mean, you know, it has empty and full, then you have half a tank, quarter of a tank, and things like that. And if you're like me, you probably watch the gauge and find out, you know, I have this many miles before I get to empty, and you know, things like that. I'm here to tell you, my sister will agree with me, sometimes it lies. All right? The other day, I'm driving, I'm almost to work. All right, I'm 71st and 129th are Olive, dependent on if you're Broken Arrow or Tulsa. Okay, 129th is Olive Street and Broken Arrow. It's 129th and Tulsa, it's Olive and Broken Arrow. So I just passed the intersection, and my automobile started acting really crazy and stopped right in the middle of the road. It just wouldn't go anywhere. I didn't know what was wrong with it. My car's it's a newer, only a couple years old. I mean, it shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff. It's a nice automobile. Didn't know what was going on. And now we're right across the street from a Quick Trip, actually. And so, you know, we tried this, tried that. Finally, we got it off the road. That was a whole another thing. I left. Cameron came, and they got it off the road. I had to go to work. So I said, "What was wrong with it?" He goes, "It needed fuel." I mean, they went a Quick Trip, put some fuel in it. It's ran fine ever since. My sister had the same thing happen twice. Three times? Oh, you know, Don had it too? Oh, so it wasn't you, it was Don. Okay, so Don had it, Denise had it.
We haven't had it.
I don't want to speak that. See, here's the thing. Some of you might not realize I drive an Audi, so does my parents, and those are Volkswagen actually owns Audi. Volkswagen also owns the Porsche, which they drive, and so it's the same engine thing. So if you happen to drive a Volkswagen, an Audi, a Porsche, watch your gauge. All right. They actually own a couple of things, other things. They own Lamborghinis, but I'm sure, I don't know if anyone has a Lamborghini in this thing, but if they do, give me a ride. I would like to ride in it. Anyway, I'm here to tell you the gas gauge can lie. It can lie. But, you know, unfortunately, for whatever reason, so many of us, we want to wait till we get completely empty or almost completely empty before we fill it back up. But, you know, that's one thing with our fuel, but we do the same thing with our joy. So many times, some of us, our joy gauge never get over a quarter of a tank. We're always like right at the edge, you know. But Jesus says that I came that you might have fullness of joy all the time. And one way you can have fullness of joy is to love people. All right, that's one way. We're going to talk about more ways to have fullness of joy. But here's the thing is that if your joy starts getting a little bit low, you should, I don't think you should ever let your joy get below three quarters of a tank. I'm here to tell you, if you keep your gas tank at three quarters of a tank or above, you'll never run out. I guarantee you'll never run out. All right? But when you get that joy really low, and you know, it's also miserable. Because I've been there when I'm like, I've actually been there when my car says, I have 0 miles left. And I'm still a mile from the gas, you know, pump. All right? And so sometimes we push it, you know, to the limit. And the thing about it is, if you push it to the limit when you don't have joy, I mean, there are a lot of people that they just don't have a lot of joy going on. Now, I realize some of you watched college football yesterday and lost a lot of your joy. But it's time to refill your joy, okay? My team lost too, all right? They decided to play the last 5 minutes of the game. If they would have played the way they played the last 5 minutes of the game, they would have won single-handedly, but, you know, UOU fans, your team lost as well. They decided to play at the end of the game as well. For some reason or another, you know, us Oklahomans, we want to play at the end. Well, it wasn't enough. But, you know, I'm just praising God that my team will win today. But if not, my joy is going to still remain. See, and that's the thing, is that, and I know football is kind of that's not a big deal. That's, you know, but here's the deal. We let the stupidest things keep us down.
The stupidest thing to keep it down. I mean, I know football, you know, I think it's a big deal, but it's not really a big deal according to the game of life. But do you realize we let small little obstacles, small little things that's really pretty small in comparison to the whole world? You know, I get it. You know, the economy's maybe been a little rough, and maybe you have it a little rough, but you're not homeless. You're not homeless. And I get it. I mean, sometimes you go to the gas pump and you fill up and you're thinking, man, that's a lot of money. Or, you know, I went to a fast food restaurant, supposedly a fast food restaurant, paid $17 for my meal, and it wasn't really that, I wasn't picking out here, you know, and that's expensive. But you know what? My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So I'm just going to be full of it. I'm going to be full of joy and be happy regardless of what's going on, because I know, because we just read, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then I can ask what I will and it shall be done. So I'm just going to ask whatever I will, whatever I desire. Now, I need to get to my next thing. So John chapter 16, remember, Jesus was just a few days from the cross when he's telling his disciples that. Now, John 16, 22 says this, therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again and your heart will rejoice. In your joy, no one will take from you. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. That's pretty thing. So if you're really not, you know, yeah, you might be sorrowing or whatever, but just ask the Lord, and he's going to give it to you, that your joy may be full. It's interesting, it says, in your joy, no one will take from you. Now, I'm here to tell you, I'm not trying to call Jesus a liar, because Jesus is not a liar, all right? But there is someone that can take your joy away from you. And it's not the devil. The devil can't take your joy away from you. You know who can take your joy away from you? You. You are the only one that can take your joy away from you, because when you forget about whose you are, when you forget about what the Word says, when you forget about what the Bible says, even though you went out to the bookstore and bought the t-shirt, live by faith, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it for me, but then you're griping about things that the Bible already says that you should have. So in a lot of ways, you don't even believe your own t-shirt. I mean, you know, because I just read, I mean, in just John chapter 15, John chapter 16, you know, a couple of times where Jesus basically just said, ask and it shall be given to you. So maybe if your joy is not very full, you need to ask God, said, God, this is what I need. This is what I need. Okay, Philippians 4:4 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now we know that scripture, right? But you realize that rejoice means that we need to rejoy. See, that's a compound word, rejoy. Now, the Bible says to keep having joy always, and again, I say keep having joy. Now, I'm here to tell you, it's not going to be hunky-dory always. There's going to be things that are going to be in your way. There's going to be situations, circumstances coming your way. But what does the Word say? The Word says rejoice in the Lord all the time. Yeah, but this is happening, that's happening. So, it's just the world. The Bible tells us that the world will get worse and worse and all kinds of different things. But you know what? Our God never changes. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus that gave us these scriptures, you know, is the same Jesus that's here today. But the only difference is now the Spirit of living God dwells on the inside of you. You know, and so we have an opportunity for joy. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says this, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know what? We need to thank God in all situations. It doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter, you know, how bad it looks. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord anyway. At all times, in all things. You know, Brother Keith Moore has a song called Hallelujah Anyhow. Never, never let the devil get you down. You know what? There's going to be times whenever the devil does attack and it seems like, you know, it's you know, things aren't good. But we can rejoice in spite of our situation, in spite of our circumstances, because I'm here to tell you, the Bible says it's going to be okay. You're going to get through this. These things are only temporal. Now, we all know this scripture, James 1, 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. All right. I like the New Living because I think it says a little better. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when trouble of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Remember, Jesus came that we could have joy, a fullness of joy. So, you know, there are going to be trials. There's going to be troubles. There's going to be situations. There are going to be circumstances. There's going to be the things of this world that try to attack us. I read it all the time. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So I'm here to tell you, the devil is going to try to attack. And I tell you, it seems like when things are going the best in the world for you, the devil will try to attack you. Because that's just the devil. The devil is the devil. He's been around since the first chapter of Genesis. You realize that the Garden of Eden was the closest thing to heaven on the earth. And the devil was there, able to attack. All right. So, you know, I mean, he's good at what he does, but we have to realize that no matter how many situations, circumstances, trials, and tribulations ever come your way, we can still have joy in the middle of that situation because the greater one's on the inside. Here's the thing. You already know the outcome as long as you believe. Well, what's the outcome? Well, Jesus said, you know what? When I'm facing all these things, that I just need to ask the Lord, and he's going to give me whatever I desire. Well, so, but here's what happens. When trials, tribulations, you know, or dad calls them obstacles. He can't say obstacles now because so he has to use that word. When obstacles come, you know, and I realize sometimes our life feels like an obstacle course. You know, I don't know, anyone remember the superstars? You know, they used to do all the obstacle course and they climb over the wall, but that wasn't good enough. Then they had to do this, they have to do that. They have, you know, every time they completed one thing, they had to do another and another and another. Sometimes that feels like real life. Every time you turn around, there's another obstacle in front of you. But, you know, when people run the obstacle course, you know what? Eventually they finish. You're going to finish eventually. And you know what? You can be joyful in the middle of your obstacles. Like, well, how do I do that? You know who's on the inside of you? See, when you have that full tank, you know, and remember, you know, you're abiding in him. His words are abiding in you. Every time the devil tries to come, you know, I don't know how many times I've said these words out loud. Devil, you have no right and you have no authority. In the name of Jesus, you have to leave me alone. I mean, you know, I know what the word says. I know what the Bible says. And, you know, and so If you don't know what the Bible says, then you need to read it. But if you know what the Bible says, then you need to live it. You know, and it is interesting, and I'm not here to condemn anybody, because we all sometimes have temporary forget about what the Bible says, because we're looking at our obstacle and we forget, you know, the Bible says this, but you know, it doesn't matter. You're going to make it. I've even quoted what Jesus told the disciples when they got in the boat. Let us go to the other side. And say, Mr. Devil, I'm going to the other side. I don't care how many winds, waves you put out there. We're going to the other side. We're going to make it. You know, even when it seems like we're not going to make it, we're going to make it. Because, you know, we don't have the world's joy. We have Christ's joy. And not only do we have Christ's joy, we should be full of his joy. In fact, you know, everything that, I don't think we should be full, because when I read the Bible, you know, it talks about that we should be overflowing with joy, or overflowing with everything that we have in the Word. We should be having the overflow. And so I believe we should have an overflow of joy. We should be happy all the time, not just whenever we come to church and someone starts to dun, 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 dun. When they start the bass line, people start being happy. I don't know what that does. You know, I mean, why a bass line makes people happy, but it just, for whatever reason, does. Now, another way, if you don't have, you know, you don't have some bass player, you know, at your house, and you're at home trying to figure out how, you know, I get it. You know, he goes, Craig, I got YouTube, I got all this, and, you know, I can find the bass line, you know, there, whatever. But I always just start clapping my hands, all right, you know, and stomping my feet. That's how I, because the Bible, I mean, because the song would say, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. So sometimes when I don't feel joyful, I decide to clap my hands. And you know, every time I do that, I start laughing because I think it's funny. So it all works. All right. But it's not the world's joy that remain in you. He says that my joy may be in you. You know, my joy in you. The Christian life is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in a man or a woman. All right. Christian joy is Christ's joy in a Christian. And this means this deep down abiding joy not found anywhere else except in him. No one else can provide the same kind of joy that he has. It's a joy to be able to be joyful even when everybody else isn't very joyful. I mean, you know, we live in a doom and gloom world. Everyone's talking about how bad this is and how bad this, and if this doesn't happen, you know, the world's done and all this kind of thing. I'm tired of hearing it. The world's not done. The world's not done until Christ comes down, the trumpet blows, and we all go to heaven, all right? The world's not done. I don't care what's going on. You say, well, I don't see a way out. Doesn't matter. God will provide, all right? Anyway, you know, there are other kinds of joy, but not Christ's joy. All right. Now he says we should have the fullness of joy, that our joy might remain full. You know, there's a difference between having a fullness of joy and a partly filled or complete, you know, be partly filled or completely filled. It's the Lord's desire for that we should experience the fullness of joy, not just one time, but continuous, day in and day out. And every time that you have I call it a brain fart. When you kind of forget the word, and you kind of, you know, because you're so busy looking at the obstacle in front of you, and you forget what the word says, I want to, you know, beseech you to remember on the inside that Jesus is with me, and I, you know, and decide, you know what, I'm going to be full of joy. Because there are sometimes, you know, we're all natural human beings, folks. And we'll even say some things sometimes that are not faith statements. You know, I'm trying to get to a point, and we should all get to a point, when something exits our mouth that's not a faith statement, that we have that gross alarm sound that I heard this morning, And there's sometimes it goes a long time before I hit snooze. You know, I hate that sound. But that sound should be going off in your brain I think it come down here. Every time that you say something that's not, hey, you're going to make it. You're going to get through this situation. And so he says that my joy will remain in you. Notice the word remain are in verses 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, and 10 of John chapter 15. By remaining in him, that, you know, he means that if he remains in us and we remain in him, his joy will always be in us. Our joy is not an intermittent experience, but it's an eternal experience all the time. Unaffected by any kind of circumstance that you'll ever face in your life. You realize Jesus' joy does not depend on our economy. It does not depend on your health. It does not depend on your wealth. It does not depend on any situation, any circumstance that you will ever face in this entire world. There is nothing that you'll ever face that will take that joy from you. You are the only one that can lose that joy. And you really won't lose it. It's still there. It's just that you're on empty. You have the capacity for great joy all the time. At some time, you need to go fill it up. Well, how do you fill it up? You just decide, you know what? I'm going to be happy no matter what, because there is nothing that can rob me of my joy. Now, that joy that belongs to us is the gift of God. Now, Paul told Timothy what he should do with the gift of God, and this is what we should do. 2 Timothy 1:6 says this, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." So if we are running zero on our joy tank, or maybe we're 25 miles or whatever, it's time to stir that up. How do you stir it up? You just think about how good God is. You think about how have you had situations before. That's why testimonies are so important. Testimonies are important because there are situations before and God's got you through that situation. He's got you through that situation so he can do it again and again. We just think about it, how he can do it again and again. And if maybe, well, I've never faced a situation like this. I guarantee you that somebody else somewhere on the internet has faced that situation. Just ask Siri or whatever. I mean, we live in a world you can just talk to your phone because your phone's always listening to you. Your car, I don't know how many times my car listens to me and tries to look up things, and I'm like, sup, car? I wasn't talking to you. I'm talking on the phone. Anyway, so, but if you, you know, you're going to make it. You're going to get through this situation. So I'm just going to stir that gift up. I'm just going to think about how good God is. And like I said, you know, if I've never gotten this through the situation, somebody else has. And so you know what? If God can get them through that situation, he can also get me through the situation, because he's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter. You know, if you come in contact with a rare disease, it's really rare or whatever, someone else has been healed of that rare disease. And even if they haven't been healed of that rare disease, Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago took the stripes for that rare disease, and by his stripes you were healed of that rare disease. So you might as well just be happy because the Bible says you're healed. Well, I don't feel healed. Well, sometimes you don't feel joyful, but you got to count it all joy. You got to be happy in the middle of every trial that you'll ever face. And I want you to remember this the next time something hits you in the face. Because the devil will hit you in the face sometimes. I kind of hit myself a little harder than I really thought. I'm beating myself up on stage. Here I am. I need to bring Bozo out. He's back there. Should have brought him out. Anyway, he's back in the closet. Because every time I bring Bozo home, I either forget where he is or one of my dog attacks Bozo and pops him. So anyway, we got to start that gift up. Now, we got a few minutes, and I want to look at an example of a man, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul faced all kinds of trials and tribulations, and he was beaten, he was bruised, he was battered, he was left for dead, he was bitten by a snake, he had all kinds of situations that he went through in life. But it's interesting what he says in Acts 20:24. He says this: "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God." So no matter what situation the Apostle Paul ever went through, he kept the joy. Because you can't finish with joy if you don't have joy all the way. And I tell you, he faced an impossible situations. Now, I want to look at one situation. And a lot of times people say, well, if God called me to do something, it's going to be easy. No, it's not. The devil's there to try to stop you from doing something. So, in Acts chapter 16, the Lord talked to Paul and told him in a vision to go to Macedonia. So he did. And so here they were in Macedonia preaching the gospel. Let's start with verse 16. Acts 16:16. It says this: "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim us the way of salvation.' And she did this for many days." I love this. "But Paul, greatly annoyed." Man, I have been like Paul before, been greatly annoyed. All right. I mean, think about it. This girl had been there for many days and, just bothering them. And so Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out of that very hour. "But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities." So they put them right there in public. "And they brought them to the magistrates and said, 'These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. They teach customs which is not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe.' Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods." All right, now this is all following God's plan for their life, okay? "And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks." All right, and kind of joke one time that Paul and Silas were in stocks and bonds, literally. So I'm here to tell you, things didn't look good. All right? It really looked like they didn't know what their fate was going to be. They were in the innermost prison. And, I have been there to Philippi, and where is that, and seen where the prison is at. We couldn't go into the prison, but it's there. I say prison, when you say the word prison, really we should use the word dungeon. The Bible even says right here they were in the innermost dungeon. Not only were they there, they were, they put them in shackles. I mean, they were, shackled up, not knowing their fate. And you think you have it bad. You think you have it tough. You're trying to figure out your opportunity for having, think about what they could be doing. "Well, Lord, we were following your plan. We were following, we were doing the right thing. We cast a devil out of this girl. This girl, I mean, she got free. We were doing your work, and look what happened to us." But Paul and Silas, they didn't have a pity party. And this is kind of tells us what we need to do when we're facing a situation when it looks like that we're not going to get out of it. Now, in their situation, They thought that they were going to kill him the next day. So what did Paul and Silas do? Well, if it was the 21st century Bible, Paul and Silas would begin to gripe and complain to the Lord. And the Lord hopefully would have mercy on them, but we don't know. Anyway, it says this, but at midnight, and you know what? Sometimes it could be 3 o'clock in the afternoon and seem like it's your midnight hour. It seemed like everything is falling apart. Everything is not going to work out. It says, Paul and Silas, what were they doing? They were praying and singing hymns to God. You know, to God be the glory. Now, I actually think, you know, someone said, well, Craig, what were they singing? I actually think they were singing, He Set Me Free. Yes, He Set Me Free. I don't know what they're singing. It doesn't matter. The point is, most people in that situation won't be singing and being happy. You know, they would be kind of concerned, worried, fretting. You know, that's why I joke about that one song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. That's what, you know, how are they going to make it? How are they going to get out? You know, but I was actually watching a program last night, and you know, some of you that are younger, you're not going to get this, but some of you that are a little older might remember the Batman and Robin cartoon. And this is what this person said, you know, here was, you know, they took all the weapons away from Batman. He's on the wheel of death. It looks like there is no way out. Robin's been poisoned. He can't help out. And it looks like doom. They said they go to a commercial break. And when they come back from the commercial break, Batman has escaped. He's got out. And then they have Blam and Bap and Pat. You remember those, you know. Then lo and behold, Batman and Robin, you know, get the bad guys. Everything turns out okay. I'm here to tell you, our God is bigger than Batman. And when it seems we're on the ropes, it seems that there is no way out, it seems that the situation is too big, you know what? It might be too big for you, but it's not too big for your God. You're going to make it. Remember, you have the joy tank. Fill the joy tank up, because what Paul and Silas did is just what Paul told Timothy, is whenever everything was the bleakest it ever could be, they begin to stir up that joy, get happy, you know, sing hymns to God. You know what? To God be the glory. It's all going to be okay. Everything, every situation, every circumstance, you know, they were just singing along. And it says this, and the prisoners were listening to them. It sounded like that, you know, they weren't quiet about it. You know, no one can touch them anyway, because they were, you know, they were all in prison, so they can't stop them. Anyway, so here they were singing out loud, just having a joyful time. And what happened? Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loose. It wasn't just, you know, the jail cells that opened. I mean, their bonds, you know, remember, they were shackled. That's a miracle, folks. But the same miracle working God, the same miracle working Jesus is right on the inside. And if you'll decide you're going to be happy and joyful in every situation, you will come out on the other side. It will be okay. You know, you need to focus on Jesus Christ, and that He remains in you, and His words remain in you. And you're going to make it. You're going to get through this. And, you know, that's why Paul could have joy, because you know what? He did it over and over and over again. Every time he faced a situation, he kept the joy. He kept the faith. And you know what? He penned words that we claim. I mean, there's words that Paul writes that every day I read, and every day it utterly changes my life. It utterly changes your life. Just be happy. No matter what. I don't care. You know, I'm here to tell you, I don't believe that many of us will probably have to face that situation. But even if we do, we have a testimony here, folks. I mean, they were there praying and singing, and all of a sudden, the God came in and shook the place. And it wasn't because they were singing good, I'm sure. We don't know if they could even sing. I don't care what you can just make a joyful noise to the Lord. You're going to get through this every single time. I'm going to leave you off with one more scripture. 1 John 4:4, New Living Translation says this: "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." The greater one lives in you, and you're going to get through every situation. That joy is on the inside. You can be happy. You know, and back to the superhero thing, you might look like Clark Kent on the outside, but whenever things begin to get bad and things begin to get tough and it looks like evil is coming that way, all of a sudden, you let the man on the inside come out. The Superman. And even though you feel like a weakling, how do you do that? Well, you know, Clark Kent would just go into a phone booth. If you don't know what a phone booth is, Google that, folks. You know. There are a couple at Utica Square if you want to see one. If you want to see a payphone, we have one out there in the north lobby. It doesn't work anymore, but it is out there. But that's what used to be in phone booths. But, you know, we don't have to go to a phone booth. We just got to stir up that gift. And when we begin to stir that gift up, when we begin to, you know, begin to stir up that gift of joy and peace, and you know, all of a sudden, nothing looks impossible. Because the greater one is on the inside of us. As the Bible says, we've already won the victory. We're going to get through this. I don't care if you're at a prison, a dungeon, at midnight, you know, not knowing what your future holds. You're going to get through this as long as you keep the joy. As long as you stay filled up, excited, because, you know, the greater one lives on the inside. How can we not be joyful when the greater one lives on the inside of us? And I want to say this one more time. There is no situation, no circumstance that you'll ever face that the greater one won't be with you. So let his joy remain. Let it be full and overflowing. And when your tank gets more than 3/4, you know, full, I encourage you to stir it up. Don't let it get empty. Don't let it get to 25 miles, because you know what? You know, your joy might stop early, like my car did. Just keep it filled up. If you keep it filled up, I guarantee you, it makes going through obstacles a lot easier. Because, oh, that's just another obstacle. Man, I got plenty of scriptures where other people face obstacles and they got through it. So if they got through it, we serve the same Jesus. We serve the same God. We're going to get through it. We're going to go to the other side. It's all going to be okay. I'm going to be joyful and peaceful because I know whose I am. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person that's in this room and each and every person that's watching online. But Father God, we just thank you that they will remember this message, not today, not tomorrow, but the next time that the devil tries to slap them across their faith with whatever situation they're going through. Help them to understand that the joy of the Lord, according to the word, is their strength, that they can make it, they can get through every situation, that joy will stay full on the inside of them. Help everybody here be full of it, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Help us to understand. Help us to be able to see that joy. Help us to be able to understand and know that it's there on the inside. And whenever our joy tanks get low, help remind us to stir it up and to stir it up and to stir it up. Because we're going to get through those situations. We're going to get through those obstacles. We're going to make it. It doesn't matter when we're facing an obstacle course. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter even if we're in prison at midnight. We're going to get through every situation as long as our eyes are stayed on you. But Father God, we also thank you right now that if anyone is here in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they will make that happen today. With head bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight or this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can today. You don't know. You can't be full of joy if you're not full of Jesus. So today, you can be full of Jesus. If you're here in this room and you've never been saved, I encourage you to lift your hand right now. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure that you are saved today. So lift your hand if you've never been saved. Or maybe you're here and you say, "Craig, man, I don't know whatever ever has been saved or not." My grandfather always pushed having what he called a know-so experience. If you don't know, today you can know. You can make sure that Jesus Christ is on the inside. Or maybe you're here today, you say, Craig, man, I walked with the Lord for many times, but I kind of turned my back and I went away. And today I want to make a public statement, just rededicating my life to God. You don't have to do it publicly, but if you want to, I encourage you to do that. If you're here in this room and you've never been saved, or you want to rededicate your life to God, or you want to have no soul experience, let's lift your hand right now, because I want to make sure that nobody leaves this place. Because if you're not saved, you don't have that joy on the inside. I don't see any hands. Father God, we just thank you right now. And if anyone in here is not saved, we thank you, Father, that laborers will come across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you, Father, they will accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior in the name of Jesus. You have something you want to sing?
Because you have given me a joy that won't stop and will never leave.
Remember this message when the devil slapped you across the face. I'm not going to do it again like I did a minute ago. All right. If you're a first-time visitor, we are so glad to have you with us this morning. We have the connection team in the aisle. They want to take you back to the North Lobby and give you a gift that we have. It'll only take a few moments, so please go with them. Amen. Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock, the pastors are headed to the door to greet you, shake your hand. God bless you. Have a great day and stay full of the joy of the Lord.